pause you in a minute, but I think if we look at it, we can do it quickly. So if everybody cooperates, we can look at 1 o'clock, 1, 2 o'clock at the latest. So, honourable members, that is our program for today. So, without ado, I will just give an opportunity for the fund advisor to take us through the issues. We also referred to it yesterday, most of it. And then directly after that, we will go to the presentation on the turnaround strategy, and after that, the big supply. And we've got also a presentation on the Rhino poaching the Kruger of preparation for Friday's meeting with DPCI. There was, I think, also last week a presentation by the Minister of Environmental Affairs. But of course, on Friday, we will look at the detection rate, we will look at prosecutions, and we will also look at improvements since we've met with them last year in Kruger. So over to Mr. Keynes, who will do the brief.
Thank you, Chair. Chair, the briefing will cover a number of matters for the attention of the Peace and Police. If you remember, we had a busy year last year, and we weren't able to wrap up all the matters. And a lot of the matters are ongoing in terms of monitoring what the police is doing in terms of the program. So this briefing is meant to assist the committee with preparation for the coming year. Firstly, the identification. I will focus on the key issues affecting the work of the committee in regards to the 2014-15 financial year. And then secondly, I would look at the key policy areas for the committee's attention. And then the second section will address the BRRR reports and the response of the SAPS management to the BRRR reports. I put the legislative priorities first because I think it's the issues that the committee orders were really focused on. We did not receive the required legislation last year, but we did receive the white paper on police, and we have to focus on the white paper on police and white papers on safety and security. And as you know, those two white papers are with cabinet, and once it returns, then it will return to the committee for processing. We also awaiting the critical infrastructure bill, Honourable Chair, and then the firearms control and maintenance bill. The rest, in terms of the Secretariat, the protection of constitutional democracy against terrorism and related activities amendment bill, that's the bill that we're waiting for. I put the amendment bill, and I put it, we're awaiting the Constitution Court condemnation because there was a judgment on the 4th of December in the matter of the former head of the current suspended of IFID, Mr. McBride, which found that certain sections of the IFID Act was unconstitutional. Now, we spoke to the legal advisors in Parliament, and they indicated that we have to look at the Constitution Court's condemnation of that particular judgment. And I've also flagged the SAPS Amendment Bill. We've been waiting for it for quite a long time to fundamentally change the SAPS Act. But again, that's dependent on how the white paper process goes. And then the animal movement and the related matters bill. And then lastly, there is the serial bill, which is also awaiting the Senate by the President. We don't know if it's been signed or not, but it probably will, if it's not been signed, it will return to the committee for processing. I thought it's important just to flag this for the attention of the committee. The court judgment on the 4th of December last year, the North Gauteng High Court decision, pronounced on the matter of the head of the IFID. That particular judgment on the chair is that the court has given Parliament 1 year or 12 months from the date of the 4th of December to remedy section 6.3A and 6.6 of the IFID Act and the regulation 13 of the IFID regulations for the operation of the Independent Police Investigative Directorate, pardon. Those are the regulations. Honourable Chair, that, as I said earlier, it is subject to condemnation by the Constitutional Court. The advice that we have from the legal advisors is to wait until the court makes a decision on this matter. That judge also declared the suspension of the head of IFID unlawful. And those particular sections that they refer to relates to the independence of IFID. Honourable Chair, the Farland Commission task, we were tasked with that last year, where we received the report from the Minister on the implementation of the Farland Commission. The Minister has announced the finalisation of the independent panel of experts on the transformation of the SAPS. If you can remember, there were two task teams. One was the independent panel that was led by experts in policing, and which would include members of SAPS, the legal advisors, and so forth. And their mandate is to revise and amend all police scripts relative to public order policing. It also investigate the world's best practices and measure measures available for use without resorting to the use of weapons capable of automatic fire with public order policing methods are inadequate. So that task team will focus exclusively on the public order policing arena. The second transformation task force is led by the Deputy Minister. That task team would investigate the world's best practices and measures available for use regarding micro-criminality and syndicated crime in terms of the mandate there. Secondly, it formulate proposals regarding the other aspects of the SAPS transformation, and that would include organization and culture change, professionalization, ICT, how to use loss data sets, and funding issues. It will also receive and integrate recommendations from the independent panel of experts, and will prepare an integrated plan for the SAPS transformation, including the creation of a results delivery office. So it's something that the committee must keep its finger on in terms of monitoring.
I just want on that point also indicate to the members that members will remember last year we were destined to get a briefing from Opet on their investigation into the forum matters. We have now secured their attendance this coming Tuesday at 9 to do that presentation on the work that they must do on. So I just want to know that will be on Tuesday, not on Wednesday, because we're not sitting on Wednesday, that will be on Tuesday. Okay. Over you can continue.
Of the experts on the panel, and included in that panel are some of the people who are still waiting for the final list of names that the Minister announced, but it includes Gareth Newham, it includes Val Kirsten, it includes Aldred de Kerk, and it includes David Bruce. Those are some of the people that were announced on Sunday chain. Another issue that the committee also is looking at and has flagged last year was this matter of the training of SAPS members. It was a serious issue around how members of SAPS are trained, particularly in relation to how members are being killed. And the committee will have a seminar on the 17th of February relating to risk factors for police. So the committee has agreed to focus on training of police officers and to call the Paul University to look at training programs offered by the SAPS, by UNISA. We're also going to intend to invite the unions, the training unions, and as well as ISS that looks at some of the training issues. The committee will examine the services on the training curriculum and its appropriateness for the current context for policing. And then there was this matter of home training. There are officers that are conducting training outside the country in areas such as Sudan and Uganda and so forth. And the committee will be looking at that, as including, if you remember last year, the head of the DPCI indicated that some of the new members and appointees will be trained outside the country. So that is another matter that SAPS ought to report on to the committee. Honourable Chair, the Rule 201 implementation process, I thought I'd just flag that because we spent a lot of time on that inquiry last year. The committee adopted the Rule 201 report on 11th of December last year. It was 8 sheet of the 12th of December. The report made certain recommendations with respect to the national management of the SAPS, as you know, honourable members. The National Commissioner subsequently has objected to the report and requested that report be rescinded. The request was denied, and the National Commissioner was then given until the 4th of December to respond. Now, Honourable Chair, in terms of the Rule 316 of the NA rules, if you remember, Parliament went into recess just after that report was tabled. Now, the report has lapsed and now has to be revived in terms of that parliamentary rule. A new process for referral must now be started to refer the matter back to the committee. And that process must be started by the presiding officers to refer the matter back to the committee. It's something that we now have to navigate our way through. Program 6 of the Directorate of Priority Crime, for Priority Crime Investigation, the DPCI. If honourable members will remember, we, during the budget hearings and during the VRRR hearings, there was a committee suggested and recommended that the DPCI have its own budget and that becomes part of Program 6. Within SEPS, that the entire DPC becomes Program 6. Now, SEPS responded to the committee because they received communication from the National Treasury Department that did not grant their permission to establish such a separate program, and the National Treasury indicated that the detective program is adequate to provide for the DPCI. The committee then took this up with National Treasury, and they suggested that the chairperson meet with the Minister of Finance on the matter as it relates to the Constitutional Court judgment and the recommendation of the committee. There are free scripts for starting new programs within government departments. Yeah, that is the view of National Treasury, and something that we hope that the chairperson will meet with the minister to talk about what the way forward is on this matter. Honourable Chair, the issue of the South African Police Service's newly formed research section, as well as the research that's been conducted by the Secretariat of Police, was something that had come last year. SAPS had announced that it started the research section, and the committee has requested that it provide a report on the matters that it was researching. This was important because there was a concern that SAPS should work more closely with the civilian secretariat, and that the secretariat should also report on research that they had undertaken. That was a request in the VRRR report. It also relates to the policy role that the civilian secretariat should be playing, which should be underpinned by relevant research. And we'll see back to basics strategy, the detective turnaround strategy was made available to the committee last year. And this is because of the poor performance of the detectives, if members can remember the VRRR hearings. The program makes provision for discrepancies in the performance information in the annual report. What is good about this, Honourable Chair, is that this has been identified by SAPS itself and saying that there were discrepancies. They looked at it, particularly when it came to the performance indicators. It considers the performance of detectives at provincial level as well, Chair, and it develops a recovery plan that identifies and addresses underperformance of detectives. And then it proposes that the plan will be completed by the end of 2015-16 financial year. And so we also monitor this very, very closely to see if they are reaching the targets that they've set for themselves. And they're also proposing what is called management intervention teams, which will be sent to provinces to achieve the desired results. And so we will take the members through the design of the plan and what we've looked at and found in the and there are a few questions that we think the committee should discuss. Professionalizing and demilitarizing the SAPS. Honourable Jane, the committee should hold the SAPS to account for professionalizing of the SAPS as per the directives of the National Development Plan. This has been on the agenda for quite a long time, and I think they've been asked over and over what are the plans for demilitarization. Professionalization is another key issue that was raised by the committee and requires that the SAPS addresses more than just training. What should be included there on the committee is the organization ethos, the organizational culture, discipline, and it should not only focus on training as a solution to professionalizing the organization. At the heart of it is what is the service that the police is rendering to the community. To date, no direct plan for demilitarization of the SAPS has been presented to the committee. And that the committee ought to also insist on clear time frames for such processes. It's something that we have to monitor closely on the issue. The VRRR recommendations. The committee has agreed to focus on training of police officers and have agreed to call, as I've indicated, at the Paul University Leeds University, the Training Programs by the SAFs, UNISA, and we've also worked on the unions and IFS, and we will examine the syllabus and the training curriculum and its appropriateness. I've already raised the issue of foreign training, and we'll start in the DPCI, Honorable Chair. Chair, after the aspects, there's been an announcement of the new leadership call for the SAPs, new provincial commissioners, new divisional commissioners, in I think four instances. So the committee ought to be appraised of the new leadership appointments made as a result of the restructuring process initiated by the SAPs. The CVs and biographies of all the appointments should be made available to the committee. It's something that the committee has done in the past practice, where such biographies and CVs have been made available to the committee. And then the new management team should be introduced to the committee, and the report on the status of the previous incumbents should be made available to the committee, so we know what has happened with people who's occupied this post previously. Honorable Chair, I want to hand over to Nicolette. Spoke just very briefly of the Ratnabochi. She wants to add anything, but I flag this issue. The committee undertook an oversight of the Kruger National Park in 2015, and various undertakings were made through action plans that were presented that the numbers of rhinos poached would reduce. That there has been a slight decrease in the figures for provided for 2014-2015. Although the financial year is not complete, it's not done. The figure that was picked up by the Department of Environmental Affairs indicates that from last year, it's dropped from 1,215 to 1,175. It's a small drop, but it's a drop nevertheless, and the argument there that it's stabilized. So the achievement, I don't think it's as notable, and a committee should integrate the reason for this, because a lot of plans were in place to reduce the numbers. So it would be good for the PC, for the committee to invite the PC for Environmental Affairs to the meeting where TAPS provides the briefing, so that there isn't any cross talk on that. Those are some of the key issues I think the committee ought to be looking at for the coming year on the OCA. Sorry, there are many issues awaiting in conclusion the committee's attention, and we seem to have very little time to see all of them through, because the portfolio is so big, and we must make sure that we use our time effectively. In addition, the committee is planning an outside visit to the Eastern Cape province, and that we also hope to have a strategic planning which we will ought to schedule for March of this year. Thank you.
Thank you for the overview. We appreciate the names and technical issues, and we will then take forward. Thank you very much. Nicolette, will you? I think let's go with the rhino specifically for prep for pride for the DPCI. Nicolette? Before we start with that, is there any questions or clarification? Yes, there is three hands. Again, Honourable Ramakani, Honourable Lepasi, Honourable and Honourable Martin.
Chair, maybe just a quick question for clarification. On the slide number 7, that's a slide that deals with the Rule 201. I think I heard the contract advisor stating that the matter will be referred back to the committee. I just wanted to make sure that I understand properly what is meant by it. Maybe if you can explain, help me to understand. My understanding that you correctly say that the request to rescind the report was denied, which meant that the report of the committee as it is stands. There was a time given to the NASCOM to state why and that time lapsed on the 4th of December. And Parliament went in recess from around about the actual leave started on the 14th or 15th of December. So the and therefore the report that was ATC before the Parliament went on recess, that report can't last. I just want to understand what is actually left.
You will
thank you, Sir President. Thank you for the presentation. My question is, can I proceed? What are the implications of the pronouncement of this court matter of Mr. McBride?
Maybe on this matter of on slide 2, that is the protection of constitutional democracy against terrorist and related activities amendment bill. I don't know, say, if maybe the committee can, before maybe receiving the bill, can actually then have the premise upon this bill is actually moved on. So that, because my worry is that if it might happen that we get the country sliding into this Canada or affected by some countries of war and terror, I think we'll be into the crisis as a country. That is my fear. So it is better even only if we get a clearly premised bill that will actually talk to the needs of the country protecting itself against acts of terrorism, and defining terrorism correctly rather than fighting those that are fighting for their own liberation, like some of us who are fighting for our own liberation and call terrorists. So I think that there must be a clarity on that. But on this, the last question is, I don't know whether maybe some of the areas here will seek to overtake the program that is led by the Deputy Minister in terms of transformation of the police, or we are limiting ourselves mainly, when we talk of transformation of the police, we are limiting ourselves mainly on transformation of public order policing unit rather than policing as a whole, according to the program that is led by the Deputy Minister. Because if it is like that, then I would be worried that if we say police have been ordered as the report, and then ask the question, how can they order reports when then the technical tool has not been established, they themselves being not aware of what to do and all that. And also the budgets having not been passed, seeking to talk to that particular program transformation. Thank you, sir.
Very much, Honorable Mark and then Honorable Bailey.
I think I'm covered by
Honorable Bailey.
Sorry, Chair, I was trying to find the right button. I think the presentation by Mr. Kunis is very comprehensive in terms of the priority areas for the committee to focus on, following on from last year. But Chair, I would just like to flag there's one area that in my mind seems to be not covered, and if the committee secretariats and management team just give some consideration to that. Because from my perspective, the three major Achilles heels in the SAFs in terms of them delivering on their mandates is visible policing, which contributes to crime prevention, the detective services, which is where they get their conviction rates, so they get the deterrence, and then crime intelligence. That's the other big area where it's just been a shambles for a long time. In terms of visible policing and detective services, we'll get plenty of opportunity to interrogate that from the perspective of the Back to Basics strategy, because that's what the Acting Commissioner has said are two pillars of that approach. So I'm not worried about that getting tension. But crime intelligence, if I may suggest, also needs some major focus from the committee, because that's where we sort of that's where the biggest impact is made in terms of, you know, property crimes, organized crime, syndicate crime, etc. And those are the crime categories that are dependent entirely on police action. And so we need to have to really jack up in that area. So if I may ask that the committee finds a way to also include that in the overall plan going forward.
Thank you very much, Honourable Members. Just three things I will respond to. The others, of course, the court advisor. The first point, or the second point made by Honourable Bailey, I think we've indicated that Manka, we want to focus on crime intelligence, because there's also been an acting or new, I think, divisional commissioner been appointed during the holidays. But we will definitely ensure that it's on the program. Then in terms of the legislative program raised by Honourable Flongu, we will definitely also take note of his comments. We received yesterday very late from the Secretariat their plan for legislation, so we will table it next week. But it looks like after July, most of the legislation. But we will bring it to the committee after discussion in Manka, definitely. You're welcome.
Honourable Chair, on the matter of the Honourable Ramatsakane raised, we took legal advice from the legal advice section in Parliament and in a table that indicated that Rule 316 applies because the report was published by ATC on the 12th. From our side, wanted to have legal certainty whether, in fact, the report stands, because this rule says, and I just want to read the rule, Honourable Chair, 316, lapsing of business on the last day of annual session or term of the Assembly, or when the Assembly is dissolved, says, one, all motions and all other business, other than those on the order paper, on the last sitting day of an annual session of the Assembly, lapse at the end of that day. And two, all business referred to in Sub-Rule 1 before the Assembly or any Assembly committees on the last sitting day of the term of the Assembly or where the Assembly is dissolved, lapse at the end of the day. So that, the rule is very, very clear on that, Chair, in response to Honourable Ramatsakane. So the new process must be that it ought to be referred, the matter ought to be referred back to the committee, and we ought to take into account, because after the report was published, there was quite a lot of correspondence between the National Commissioner and the committee, and we have to take into account the views that were expressed in those correspondence. Because up to date, when deadline was given for the 4th of December for the response from the National Commissioner, she did not respond. Up to today, we haven't had a response from the National Commissioner. So it will have to come back to the committee through referral. The second matter raised by Honourable Molapati on the implications for the head of the IPED, Mr. McBride, the court made a number of findings. I just want to, if you would allow me to go through some of those findings, I will keep it short here. The findings, it is clear that the following provisions are unconstitutional and unlawful to the extent that they purport to authorize the Minister of Police to suspend, take disciplinary steps pursuant to the suspension or to remove from office the Executive Director of the Independent Police Investigative Directorate. Now, it lists those sections, Section 6.3A and Section 66 of the IPED Act, and then 1.2, Section 16A, 16B, 7.1 and 7.2 of the Public Service Act. So there's another act that's affected by this. And 1.3, regulation turning of the IPED regulations. It says that the decision then of the minister to suspend the executive director is unlawful and invalid and is set aside. It also says that, and I want to just read this, the decision by the minister to commence with disciplinary proceedings against the executive director, which was commenced on the 21st of May, is unlawful. And then this particular order, court order, was set aside for 3 days to enable the National Assembly and Minister of Police if they don't choose to exercise their powers in terms of the provisions referred to in 3.1. That means, at the time the court judgment was set up, that Parliament went into recess, 6 days have expired. So Parliament couldn't have taken any action because the 3 days lapsed. That's as far as the Mugai judgment. And then the other question raised by Sorry, Chief Minister, refer to my notes.
Honourable Ramathani, welcome.
Now is required. What was a condemnation brought in relation to the 30 days?
No, the 30 days wouldn't really matter to the committee because the court gave the committee and the minister discretion to institute disciplinary action. Because that was the basis of the application by Mr. Mugai. Now, the consideration is on the constitutionality of the Abbott Act, those sections of the Abbott Act and the sections of the Public Service Act.
Just a very small question. Maybe I'm not getting things properly in my head. So that being the case, in terms of the 30-day lapse of the discretionary period for Parliament flowing from the ruling of the courts, so what then is the current legal status of Ms. McBride's suspension or sort of job status?
Nothing will happen until the Constitutional Court pronounces on the matter. That means because the High Court made the decision, the Constitutional Court will have to condone that judgment. The Constitutional Court can still find that the judgment is not unconstitutional. So you have to wait until the Constitutional Court makes a pronouncement. All the questions, Chief. I've got you covered the question from Honourable Mabel. Ms. Mushlongo, Chair, on the protection of constitutional democracy. I just want to point out that South Africa is signatory to international instruments related to constitutional democracies, and this legislation, the protection of constitutional democracy against terrorist-related activities, because South Africa is signatory to other instruments at the United Nations, we are obliged to write that into our local legislation. Then, secondly, the tasking by the Deputy Minister on Transformation, Honourable Chair, is very, very clear, that the mandate is very clear, that it relates to the issue of transformation of the status. The first task on public order, policing, or the international panel, the reason why they are responding to the public order policing arena is because of the findings of the Marikana Commission, and that's a direct response to the findings of the Marikana Commission, Honourable.
Very much. Once again, Mayor, this is just a snapshot of what we're going to focus on. Of course, if there's new issues coming up and other issues members want to put on the agenda, of course, we will, as usual, accommodate those and have special settings on Friday afternoons for interesting topics. Let's go to the RINO publishing prep document for Friday.
Thank you, Honourable Chairperson. Honourable members, I'm just quickly going to take members through the latest update on the RINO publishing. Honourable members will see that members, a hard copy box document. Just in brief, it will sort of on the key issues that the Minister of Environmental Affairs raised last week during the press conference. Okay. Honourable members, there have been a slight decrease, like Irvin had mentioned earlier, of rhino budging over the 2015 financial calendar year. There's about 40 rhino less, poached less than in 2014. In 2015, 1,175 rhino were poached throughout South Africa, of which 826 were in the Kruger National Park. In the previous financial year, 1,215 rhino were poached across South Africa, of which 827 were in the Kruger National Park. Now that's one less in the Kruger National Park and 39 less in South Africa. Members, although it's not a big decrease, I think 40 rhino less is a marked difference, and each rhino faithful poached less is a victory. During the 2015 year, 317 poachers were arrested in the Kruger National Park and 115 in the area adjacent to the Kruger National Park. That's an increase from the 258 arrests in the 2014 calendar year. That's about 59 more poachers that was arrested. Honourable members and chairperson, that led to about 48 convictions of these arrested poachers. Convictions were on charge of possession of rhino horn, dealing in rhino horn, illegal hunting of rhinos, conspiracy, illegal possession of firearms and ammunition, or supplying firearms in relation to rhino poaching, trespassing and other charges. The supply of firearms and or ammunition and trespassing were the biggest category of convictions. So, honourable members, the conviction rate currently is 88.8%. However, if you take the amount of convictions out of the rest, it will be good if the department can explain how they look at the conviction rate. Honourable members, 24 of the convicted poachers were given prison sentences, 21 were given fines, and 3 were suspended sentences. Out of the 48 convictions, 15 individuals were Mozambican citizens, of which 14 is currently serving prison sentences in South Africa. A total of 125 firearms were seized inside Kruger National Park and 63 adjacent to Kruger National Park, which is a total of 188 firearms seized compared to the 148 of the previous financial year. Honourable members, it's quite coincidental that 40 more firearms were seized and 40 less rhino were poached during 2015. During the year, a total of 400 magistrates and prosecutors have been trained, especially on environmental crimes and the prosecution thereof. A total of 1,047 board enforcement officials have received training in combating rhino poaching. The DPCI arrested 15 high-level members of a poaching syndicate during 2015, and in November last year, the Honourable President officially opened the Mission Area Joint Operations Center in the Kruger National Park. Honourable members, if we just turn the page, Irvin already indicated that the committee had an oversight to the Kruger National Park in early February last year. We had a follow-up meeting on the 18th of February, and then a second follow-up meeting on the 9th of September. On the 18th of February, the main focus areas were on follow-ups on the findings made during the oversight visit and the lack of an integrated approach to go rhino poaching with, especially from crime intelligence point of view. On the 9th of September, the focus was mainly on cooperation with neighboring countries, especially Mozambique, employment of customized strategies to address different challenges in different areas of the Kruger National Park, as rhinos don't occur naturally in equally in all parts of the Kruger National Park. They are located most prolifically in the south area of the Kruger National Park. Also, another focus of the committee was addressing syndicates in terms of level 4 and 5 crime. The push and pull factors attracting syndicates to South Africa, the vetting of personnel working on anti-money poaching schemes, and adequate resourcing, especially in terms of equipment and vehicles, and proposals were made for South Africa to liaise with Kenyan counterparts in success achieved in stemming both rhino and elephant ivory poaching. Honourable members, if we turn the page, the department has provided responses to the meeting we had on the 9th of September. In summary, the department indicated that interventions in place and successes achieved with regard to level 4 and 5 crimes, and that the DPCI focused on national, transnational, and international criminal networks and the building of law enforcement capacity and networks addressing all wildlife crime. The areas of focus that they indicated include mutual legal assistance programs, and the DPCI is currently dealing with 4 mutual legal assistance programs, of which 2 in the USA, 1 in the Czech Republic, and 1 in Australia. There are also several operations within Interpol and the SARCO, which include Operation Waylay, which focuses on control deliveries between countries, as well as training and development of equipment to assist in control of deliveries between countries. Secondly, Operation Infraterra focuses on tracing of international wanted suspects with a focus on environmental crime groups operating transnationally. Thirdly, Project Nexus is a new investigative response for environmental and supply chain security program. The program is still being developed currently, and it will investigate the linkages between environmental smuggling syndicates and other syndicates like human and trafficking. Also, the Asian Wing operations, specifically Project Cobra 3, focuses on the transnational and international smuggling of rhino horns, elephant ivory, pangolins or anteaters, big cats, and apes. The DNA project, of which we are aware, were developed in cooperation with the Faculty of Veterinary Science at Orange Support, and it developed a crime scene toolkit for investigators to collect DNA from the rhino horn to be able to later link seized rhino horn from crime scenes within the Kruger National Park. The DPCI also focused on training transferring skills and skills development through training detective and psychic training on wildlife crime. Honourable members, just continuing quickly the departmental responses, the SAP stated that the vetting of personnel within the Rhino's anti-poaching task team is an ongoing process. So it's presumed that not everybody is already vetted, and it should be a follow-up for the committee to ensure the vetting. Also, the staffing requirements of the DPCI, the staff indicated that it will be beneficial for the DPCI, especially on provincial level, to have additional personnel working on environmental crimes. The SAP was presented with training by the U.S. Fish and Wildlife Agency at the ILEA complex in Botswana. In terms of public awareness, the National Rural Safety Strategy community are informed of the seriousness of rhino poaching. The SAP also indicated that they do not have any information on internal leakages to date, but that it is suspected that there is indeed internal information leakages. Honourable members, on that, the key concerns the committee could focus on is the conviction rate, as I already mentioned, as only 48 persons out of 317 arrestees were convicted. The Such should also elaborate on the nature of the mutual legal assistance applications currently dealt with, and when, whether this will be expanded to maybe other countries, especially Islamic countries. Then also the status of the development of projects and connectors to research the connection between environmental crime syndicates and other syndicates in the trafficking of humans should be actually complete soon, as there could be some very interesting linkages between different crime syndicates. Then also, just to ascertain whether the DPCI staffing levels has been increased, and also training on specifically environmental crimes. And then also the foreign training on environmental crimes, that's quite active in giving and receiving crimes. So I think there's a lot of information sharing currently going on. And also the information leakages could be a serious area of concern. The staff have also alluded to the fact that they know about these leakages, or they just suspect it, but they should establish where these leaks are and try to curb it. And then also the committee should ask an update on the resourcing of the anti-rhino poaching team, like vehicles and just resourcing equipment to assist with the tracking. And also, in conclusion, I just quickly want to touch on the dog unit and tracker dog, or the canine capacity within the Kruger National Park. The committee will also receive a briefing, I think, on Friday on the canine capacity of the SAT. Now, this is a relatively new environment of oversight for the committee. We haven't really looked at the canine environment. These units could be included within the committee's oversight mandate for the first parliament, actually, to look at the specialized units. And there have been several allegations of mistreatment of these dogs. Track or sniffer dogs in the police is really a valuable asset, especially in environmental crimes, and it has been used very successfully in rhino poaching in the Kruger National Park. Honourable Members and Chairperson, a very good example of this is a dog called Canine Killer. He is deployed in the Kruger National Park. And the dog received an international gold medal in 2016, the PDSA, gold medal for bravery and service by a civilian dog. And it's a big honor for an animal to get. The specific dog has been successful in 115 arrests over the past 4 years, of which 77 were poachers. Honourable Members, just on a side note, I attended the Cape Town Harbour yesterday as part of a research team, and the main challenge the SPRAPS officials highlighted were the lack of dedicated canine capacity at the Cape Town Harbour. As I said, that the canine capacity will significantly expedite the rummaging operation and will significantly add value to their operations. So I think that's also an area that the committee could focus on. Thank you, Chair.
Thank you very much, Nick. Members, that is just for break for Friday. Thank you very much for that. Can we maybe go now to the comments on the police back to basics, the focus area for tomorrow, and also the view of the content and advisor of the previous SAPS presentation. After that, we will take a break.
The
6 months. And it should be noted that should either be ascertained when the stars were set by DDME and whether it has changed over the last few years, Honourable Chair. Performance indicator, percentage of employees reached during the proactive employee health and wellness program. The totals that are provided for such in the quarterly information do not add up to the final total, which comes to 173,777. Well, the total provided by the SAS is stated at 179,960. The total of employees have also changed over the period, with the final total of employees reflecting as 193,692. The quarterly totals of employees are reflected as 194,195. See, I think one of the reasons for this is because they're compiling the information on a quarterly basis.
Yeah.
The numbers of members of SAS fluctuates. Those coming in, those designing, those being, I think they pick this up as a result of, because if you add up the figures of quarterly information, that doesn't add up to the final total that is presented in the report. And
yeah, so in effect, the decision made by the acting national commissioner and his team that there was indeed
disparities,
yeah. Correct.
That's correct, yeah. Because they've identified it, we must remember that. According to the DBMA, this particular performance indicator should be removed. So something that the committee ought to get. Firstly, the number of police stations that have implemented sector policing doesn't add up over the 4 months check as far as sector policing is concerned. In total, the 4 quarters add up to 93.57%, while the total is separated as 100%. Because remember, there's 1,137 police stations, and lately it's moved to 1,138 police stations. The number of reported serious crimes has decreased from 1,826,967 reported crimes to 1,820,796 reported crimes in the 2014-15 annual reports, compared with the same period in the 2013-14, and they indicated that there's a 0.3 decrease. The annual report on page 130 provides that the plan target was to reduce that fee by 2%. Was to reduce by 2% the number of reported serious crimes to 1,718,191 crimes, and that target was not reached. 2.2 visible policing program. That performance indicator percentage of escapes from police custody versus arrested and charged. The total figure provided in the annual report on page 152 for the performance indicator of percentage of escapes from police custody versus arrested and charged shows that 697 persons escaped from police custody in 2014-15, and that it represents 0.41% of the 1,660,833 persons arrested and charged during the 2014-15 financial year. Now, already, Rachel, you see the either discrepancy there with the numbers of arrested persons. So we must note that it's arrested and charged. Firstly, the quarterly figures provided by SAPS do not add up to 697. It totals 1,040, and the person arrested figure also do not tally with the figure of arrested persons on page 142, which states that the figure for arrested persons in 2014-15 was 1.7 million. So something that they've picked up. The performance indicator, the number of police stations with sector policing has been implemented, indicated that change. The performance indicator for sector policing implementation at stations according to the minimum criteria places the target at 100%. In the first quarter, the target of 100% was not achieved, neither at any other quarter. Instead, at the end of the year, and reflected in the annual report on page 134, it reflected that it achieved 100% of the implementation, which doesn't add up. Because if you don't achieve 100% per quarter, you can't claim 100% at the end.
Actually, confirmation by the parliamentary research is that there's already 3 or 4 discrepancies in that level.
Detective Services Program. You want us to remember that the annual report, they don't give the quarterly information, they only give the final total. So we only receive the final total in what they've now provided with us. To us. So the performance indicator detection rate for serious crimes, the detection rate for serious crimes planned or was set at 41% for the 2014-15 financial year, according to the annual report in page 199. The actual achievement was 37.4%. However, if you take the quarterly figures and check the final annual report figures, they do not add up. The reason for this is that the numbers of crimes per court fluctuates, and the figures do not appear to be the same for every quarter. So the number of report crimes for every quarter will change depending on how many people report crimes. The performance indicator detection rate for crimes is dependent on release action for detection. The annual report in paragraph 191 is the actual achievement for this performance indicator is 99.62%, which is 351,241 from a total of 362,575. The quarterly figures, however, do not add up to the actual percentage of 99.62%. The achievement of targets. The Detective Services Program struggled to achieve its targets for the 2014-15 financial year and succeeded in achieving 60% of its targets, or 12 out of 20 predetermined performance targets. The Petroleum Company and Police lamented the poor performance of the detectives at its annual provincial BRRR hearings. I think the reason why this has been highlighted by staffs in the basics approach is that they were saying that they must have accurate information when it comes to recording of crime, and so that they make proper interventions. So I think it's good that they've put this out in the open. And then they look at provincial detector performance. The overall performance detectors provincial shows a total performance of only 43%. That is now provincially. The provinces were measured against detection rates, trial reduction and conviction rates in four crime categories. A breakdown of detective provincial target in four crime categories may be serious crimes, crimes dependent on police action for detection, crimes against women and crimes against children show that in Mpumalanga, Northwest and the Western Cape provinces performed the best out of the nine provinces. But even that has the best 67% for those two provinces and 58% in the Western Cape. Those are not the best scores that they possibly could get for performance check. The Popo and the Northern Cape provinces each scored a very low 17% for performance, with Gauteng, Eastern Cape and Free State each scoring a low of 25% for performance. The KwaZulu-Natal province achieved the 50% for performance of the detectives nationally. These score sheets of the provinces display how serious the role of detectives at provincial level it really is, and the committee should be very concerned with the results of the overview that's been conducted by the SAS. They then undertook a docket analysis, and in its docket analysis, the report states that the number of open dockets. If the honourable members will remember, we go to police stations from oversight, we always ask what the dates are for the open dockets, the dockets older than 1 year. In this case, shows an amount of 603,178 dockets. The Gauteng province accounts for the majority, which is 25%, followed by the Western Cape of 21%, KwaZulu-Natal of 14%. The Eastern Cape accounts for 11%. Free State and the Limpopo province both account for 7% of open dockets, while the Northern Cape and Mpumalanga province account for 6%, each leading the North West province accounting for 3% of the dockets. Gauteng with 1,654 dockets, and then the Western Cape with 1,286, and KwaZulu-Natal with 745. Those are provinces that account for the highest numbers of open dockets reports before the year 2000. Those are dockets more than 10 years old. There are 10 stations with charges older than 10 years. And if you look at that, then three of those stations are on the Western Cape. Kubulesi 281, Western Area 289, Nampula 298, Highgrass Station 313, Nanga 377, Roodepoort 414, Pinetown, which is located in 499, which is 767, Katlaong 775, and Richmond 959. So you have Western Cape, Gauteng, and KZN reflected here. The top 10 contributing charges for crimes reported over 1 year includes liquor-related offences, murder, driving under the influence of liquor, where no accident was reported, offences under the Drug and Drug Trafficking Act, and driving offences under the National Road Traffic Act, and then driving offences under the National Road Traffic Act, Category A and Category B is theft, culpable homicide, and those are the big figures with, rape and fraud. The committee may want to question the steps of these figures, especially, particularly in the docket analysis, of the top contributing stations for crimes reported over 1 year, especially for murder and drugs and drug trafficking, as far as drug trafficking offences are concerned. The figures show that crimes that are dependent on police action for detection is numerous and concerning. It's grown phenomenally. And if you remember, there's 50 top stations every year. Most of the stations fluctuates, but they stay in the top 50. And so it's something that the committee must then look at. How did it change that picture nationally? And it's been like that for, I think, Honorable Basimov assist there for a long time. And then the detectives' recovery plan. See, I think we might be a bit excited about the fact that they are pushing towards a recovery plan in this way, because they're identifying areas for underperformance and what they want to do about it. Firstly, the plan identifies the areas for underperformance in the detectives and provides a provincial breakdown of underperformance. Secondly, the plan provides an analysis of the factors that contribute to underperformance, and then the plan provides for a recovery plan for a turnaround in the detective's environment. And thirdly, the plan identifies an operational plan for the priorities and key actions needed for the turnaround. Lastly, the plan develops a mechanism for monitoring and evaluation of the milestones. Chief 4.1, I'm just going to run through some of them. I won't run through all of the areas of time. Lack of clarity regarding the source or system of detective data sets to measure performance. That's what the first session was all about. There was a lack of analysis of backlog and current year performance. The need to continuously update the system to capture actual performance, not done. Document allocation of district volumes, complexity, and competency levels of investigating offices into consideration, and inadequate tracing of wanted suspects, and so forth, Honorable Chair. I think if you look at page 5, those individuals there, there's inadequate stakeholder management in the crime investigation value chain. That is big one, Chief, inadequate management of dismissal appeals, and then inadequate management of organized crime threats. Where does it go an important question for the committee to consider is why the issue of leadership of the detectives at branch, provincial, and national level has not been identified as a key area for intervention. So they identify all the areas, but they don't talk about the leadership of the detective commander at station level and so forth. The plan suggests a turnaround strategy that will be completed by the end of 2015-16 financial year. The turnaround strategy is led by Lieutenant General Guenya and will be coordinated through multidisciplinary management intervention teams. They informed the committee about these intervention teams last year, implemented through the National Commissioner's Office. The exciting thing I think about the intervention teams is that it will include the Division Commissioner for Detective Services and the Divisional Commissioner for Inspectorate. And the teams are also, they also be deputy provincial commissioners at provincial level for crime detection, provincial aid, inspectors and the provincial aid detective service, provincial, and these will include functionaries under command and control. Importantly, Chair, there are 17 priorities that hit us and 43 key actions for implementation of these intervention teams. I think the question that the committee can ask is why the role of a local detective command station and trust are not clearly defined in the strategy. Two, the introduction of uniform detectives has not been rolled out, and so how can it be included in the turnaround strategy and only exists as a pilot? Three, while on the timelines of finalizing the organized crime threat analysis strategy is separated. Four, the identification of relevant stakeholders for the investigation value chain is placed priority 16. Why is so when it should be made clear who the partners are from the onset when they're starting the investigations? And why does the strategy not emphasize the training of managers and detectives who have not attended basic training programs or detective commanders programs as a priority? And why is there no provision for consequence management in the plan for detectives and commanders who do not comply with the back to basics plan and the directors of the management intervention team? I think that consequence management is something that maybe the committee must look at in such a plan, and that the action should have timelines attached to them so that the committee can measure the progress of each priority. So I just want to say that also the monitoring and evaluation section is an important innovation that should be welcomed, because such an action committee to evaluate their own actions. While the back to basics approach is aimed at detectives, the committee should consider why such a plan does not extend to the rest of the stats, particularly visible policing and the other divisions. I think the committee should welcome the attempt by the police to place matters in the detective environment in proper context. The fact that SAD have provided the committee with corrected statistics and performance information shows commitment to accurate with identifying the causes of crime and should be welcomed by the committee. While there are some gaps and questions, the basic plan is stepping in the right direction and should be welcomed. However, the committee should either ask the civilian secretary to also monitor its progress and report on progress on a quarterly basis. Thank you, Chair.
The briefing with regard to our paper for tomorrow. Members, any questions or input?
Yes, Honourable Bear. Chair, it's just a quick question for clarity. On page 3, relating to provincial detective performance, am I correct that these figures in being provided by the SAS in the written submission they send to the committee are not reflected in the same detail in the annual report, or are they also in the report?
No, they're not reflected in the annual report.
Other questions?
I wonder if maybe we can tell him for purposes of engagement with the relevant divisions on this matter that our detective division seems to be depleted by various factors. That we get maybe a kind of an attractive mechanism that is going to attract highly skilled officers who can actually then, or people who can actually then join the police service, talking to that strategic approach as to how best we can recruit those people who might have left the service, who have high who have proved high level of skills and talent in terms of, we know of such people. Some of them, I don't think that they have actually reached the old age. I remember there were people like Angel Brad when we were involved by violence cases, and they would be deployed down there. Now, but these people have left the service. What can then be used, or else maybe, what strategy can be adopted by us as a committee, so that we share it with the leadership of the police, so that it is actually then put in as a mechanism that will try to recruit these people back to the service. Because part of these things, you find these guys, these very, very, very new guys, who are young constables recruited out of the country, who are actually heading these things, and they don't have any kind of experience, and that's why this thing is so down.
Thank you very much. Thank you, members. If there's no other questions, I think that the important issue of the incorrect stats, of course, we've indicated our displeasure with that, but we've also asked the acting national commissioner to do more work on it, because it also raised questions on quality control in the process of compiling statistics, but also the finalization of the annual report. I think tomorrow we must also ask the acting national commissioner, in terms of his new structure, is there additional levels of scrutiny in place? Is there also people with the necessary M&E skills brought into the play to ensure that it's happened? But we will also have to maybe reflect on further information and maybe even then adopt a report that must go to the executive authority, because it's a serious matter, a very, very serious matter. Members, let us take a 10-minute break, and then we will come back at about 20 past. Thank you very much.
I'm going to go to the next one. Thank you. Yeah.
colleagues, we need to proceed with our program. Otherwise, time will catch us. Hopefully, they will be late at tea, so, but let's see. We're going to continue with the briefing program. We will ask now the content advisor to deal with the BRRR responses. Maybe just to indicate that the documents will also be distributed later, I think, to members. And the summary is with the members.
The summary is with members, but the
printers
with
love. And the aim of the briefing is really to highlight those areas that will be focus areas as tomorrow, but also during the term. You're welcome to go in. Thank you.
Thank you, Honourable Chair. We do this every week. We look at what the SEFs have provided and what they haven't provided. Honourable Chair, the 2015 allocation. The committee indicated that it supports the establishment of an independent panel of experts on transformation in SEFs and the transformation task team of the Deputy Minister. And task teams are expected to act between 15 months and 3 years. Now, the committee has not yet been briefed on the composition of the independent panel, although there was a public press conference by the minister. And he the committee recommended that SASA provide monthly written reports to the committee on the action steps it will take to implement and monitor the recommendations of the Auditor General. We have not yet received that check. Three, workshop for senior management.
Was there a due date for that?
We did not place the, we did say that they must provide monthly reports. Unless the secretary has received that, as far as I know, we haven't received a specific response to that recommendation. Three, the workshop for senior management on the Constitution. The committee recommends that SAP's national and provincial senior management should attend a workshop on the Constitution, with special reference to civilian oversight, rule of law and the separation of powers by the end of the current financial year. That's not due this year, it's the end of the financial year we interview, and we need to receive feedback since work in progress. Demilitarization, the committee recommends that the department provide details of demilitarization process, budget and timelines to a report and briefing before the end of the financial year in March 2015. So it's not yet due, we're still working that one check. The community involvement in the recruitment process. Chair, the committee recommends that SAPS develops methods for community involvement in the recruitment process of new police recruits and reports on the efficacy of such a process by keeping the committee updated on the new roles that the committees will be playing. Honourable Chair, we did receive a response on the 4th of December from the National Commissioner's Office and an indicated process for the community involvement. It indicates that there's targeted recruitment and the community visas are ready in the provinces. We also are available. Community police forum members, community visas, and SAP members are invited to using visas and informed of posts which are available in SAPs. The requirements for the interested person to participate in the process and in the and the process that we follow to enlist suitable candidates are outlined to the community. And then the community is also afforded the opportunity to give inputs, raise concerns and comment on how the process can be improved. And then further consultations are made through community radio stations. Then the names are published in the media in the local community newspaper for the community to comment. And then there's the presentation of successful potential applicants to the local community. The potential candidates are presented to the local community by means of visas for comments, and that's ward councillors, religious leaders, and CBFCs, for instance, in the rural area and tribal authority areas. And then there's the recruitment boards. The provincial recruitment boards are constituted at the end of the process to consider and make the final recommendation of candidates to be enlisted for approval by the National Commissioner. The said boards are inclusive of internal and external workplace, which include your provincial commissioners, the Department of Education, internal audit, cluster commanders, community police forums, community representatives are also welcome to sit in the interview panels as observers. So that is the process that they outline to you. Six, management controls across the outstanding commanders. SAP must provide the committee with a revised strategy to ensure effective management control of stations and cluster stations by provincial commissioners with regards to performance information. We did receive something on 4th of December. the plant, which places the responsibility for the implementation on the inspectorate and the deputy provincial commissioner. The plan is satisfactory and should be monitored by the committee. It's similar to the intervention teams. And then the visible policing program, rotation of key staff at police stations. Committee recommends that SAPS reviews and investigates the principle of rotation for key staff at stations throughout the country. The SAPS is to develop such a policy and make it available before the end of the financial year. It's not been received, it's not due yet. And then the AG recommendations on station leadership and performance management information. The committee recommends the department implements the recommendations of the Auditor General with respect to leadership at station and class level when it comes to managing performance information on reaction times and the reliability of information. Monthly reports must be provided to the committee on this matter. Due date was the 4th of we received that on the 4th of December. The report received the plan is for the inspector and the Deputy Provincial Commissioner to take responsibility for the management of that particular process. The Commission has also indicated that in his correspondence what happened on the Bookship Person. Disciplinary action on poor performance, pocketbooks. The committee recommends that the department takes disciplinary action to address poor performance with effect to members who do not fill out their pocketbooks and reports to the committee on a quarterly basis. Here we received the full report, it's a long report, and a strategy for dealing with this by the National Commissioner. I won't go into details because it's quite long. If I may, Chair. The police inspector is a new inspection tool. The committee recommends that the police inspector completes the review of standing order 6 with a review to strengthening the new inspection tool and make it available to the committee before the end of the financial year. Chair, we received this on the 4th of December. It's a very, very extensive, Chair. There is a template for a full inspection, and the standing order and the draft review has been provided to us, together with the question here for all aspects of the station, and it's extremely extensive. I don't think the committee, if it does oversight at the station, will be able to complete this in one day at the station, because there are several aspects that they ought to look at the station level. Then the age analysis of civil claims. The committee recommends that age analysis of civil claims against the department is undertaken with a view to reducing such claims and report to the committee within 1 month. Chair, this was received on the 4th of December, and a full report and a full analysis has been provided to the committee that will have been made available in the pack that was sent to all the members. The post levels on captains and lieutenant colonels, the committee recommends that the department speed up the process of negotiations at the Safety Security Sector Boarding Council to finalize the matter of post levels, ranks, and remuneration of captains and lieutenant colonels. Chair, the commission has provided an extensive report and indicates the matters awaiting a finalization by the cabinet and the FFCC, because it does have consequences, financial consequences, but according to SAFS, they want to see the promotions without the financial rewards. So I think that is what's caused the holdup at the moment. The detectives, the turnaround strategy for detectives, the committee recommends that the SAFS provide a turnaround strategy for increasing the detection rate for serious crime in the country by the end of November. This matter was presented to the committee on the 27th of November 2015, and is also included in the detective's turnaround strategy. Detection rates of crimes against women and children. The committee recommends that SAFS provide a turnaround strategy with action steps to increase the detection rate for crimes against women and children by the end of November 2015. We've received that on the 4th of December, and a full report has been made available. The stock theft units. The committee recommended that the department develops a turnaround strategy to increase the efficacy of stock theft units and make the report available to the committee within 1 month. We have not received this, but we did receive an application for an extension until the 15th of January, and so we're still awaiting that report. The closure of cases listed is undetected. The committee recommended the SAPS provide the committee with a full report of the monthly levy figures for closure of cases undetected with a provincial breakdown for the last 3 financial years and reported by the end of the financial year. That's not you, and we ought to receive it by the end of financial year. The detectives of detection plan, The committee recommends that, the SAPS provides the committee with a retention plan to keep existing detectives in SAPS and speed up the recruitment of former detectives who want to return to the department. Honourable Chair, the Commissioner sent us a note of the detectives that have re-listed, and we have received a full report of detectives. Are they want to see the detectives who return around SAPS, Honourable Chair? The ratio of detectives, the committee recommends that SAPS conducts a need analysis of how many detectives should have on establishment as of the ratio of detectives to police officers and provide the committee, a report to the committee at the end of the financial year. This is not you, it's only due at the end of financial year. The communication strategy, the committee recommends that the SAPS provide progress report on public communication strategy in high profile cases. Chair, we have received a full report. Although that report, if I remember correctly, Chair, is the communication standing order, which we say provided. The second part of that would be the issue of high profile cases, which I'm not sure that they have made available as of yet. The DPCI provincial head, the committee recommends that the DPCI should provide the committee with a progress report on the appointment of all the provincial heads of the DPCI at DPCI by the end of the financial year. As much as you, and we ought to achieve it in the financial year. The crime intelligence footprint, the committee recommends that SAPS provided with a plan to increase crime intelligence footprint in the provinces by end of November 2015. We've received such a report yet, where the commissioner makes clear what the steps are that are taking to increase the footprint. The head of the operational analysis center, the committee recommends that SAPS provided with a progress report on appointment of the head of the operational analysis center by the end of November. They have indicated that they have filled that particular post. The status reports, Bloomfield NPSS and VIP protection, the committee recommends that SAPS provide the committee with a status report on the accommodation of the Bloomfield protection and security services personnel by the end of November. We receive such a full report and the steps that they, or the action steps they're trying to take to attend to the committee's concerns, Chair. And then working on issues of the VID protection unit, the committee recommends that SAPS provide a comprehensive report on the working conditions of the VIP protection unit and the adherence to discipline on protection duties of ministers, deputy ministers, VIPs, and national key points. We have not yet received such a report, Chair. That is on the RRR. There are also a number of report matters which overlap with the requirements of the BRRR. If I may, SAPS must provide the committee with a revised strategy to ensure effective management control of stations and cluster stations. We've dealt with that. We've received the report. The SAPS provide the committee with a copy of the memorandum of agreement of the Human Rights Commission. See, we've received the Human Rights Commission memorandum, and that memorandum is drafted or has been drafted and signed off in May 2015, and it pledges to do following to do the following they consider that and commit to find opportunities to foster great respect for the life, property, law, order, rights and freedoms in the public. And then there is a need to promote the observance of respect for and protection of fundamental rights amongst the population in general in order to dissuade the public from instigating and resorting to acts of violence during demonstrations and protests. And seven, there is further need to promote the observance of respect for and protection of fundamental rights amongst officials of the SAPS who attend demonstrations and protests regardless of whether they culminate violence. So they look at areas of cooperation, is curriculum development chain, around training, arrest, search and seizure policy, the policing of gatherings and demonstrations, the use of force, and including lethal force, as provided for in law during arrest, the policing of gatherings and demonstrations, and to protect the life and property of the community. They also provide for, the agreement also provides for visiting lectures, for research, for outreach, and for information sharing, and then monitoring and evaluation and media communications, as well as financial arrangements. So that is an agreement that was made between the Human Rights Commission and the SAPS. The SAPS provided the committee with a report on the colloquium on demilitarization. We received such a report, Chair, from the National Commission, and the report shows that there was a number of academics that address the steps on the issue of modernization, demilitarization. This colloquium report shows that the thing took place on 20th and 21st of November 2014. We had Dr. Kumbo from the University of KwaZulu-Natal, Professor De Vries and Dr. Mofokeng from Tshwane University of Technology, Professor Kondo, Dr. Dan Titus from the Human Rights Commission, and Professor Rulofso from the University of Pretoria, attending the colloquium, as well as the CSIR, Mr. Kruger, and somebody from the Deutsch chair, and there was also somebody from the Gambling Board that attended and spoke at the research colloquium on the issue of demilitarization. The issue raised in number 4 in the reporting matter, we've dealt with the chair, how the community is involved. Chair, the question of the number 5 there, the subsidies provide action steps to limit the increase in contingent liabilities of the defaulted. Chair, they've sent us that full report on how they will reduce the number of claims against police and contingent liabilities. We have such a report that we've received from such. So it's clear that they're taking this issue very, very seriously because of the amount of claims. The staff must submit monthly reports to the committee. We have not received that unless they sent it to the secretary only. And I've said that it's work in progress because they hope to send it every single month. How they will implement those proposals from the recommendations from the AG. And then the staff senior management should attend the workshop on the constitution. That also happened at the end of the financial year, so before the end of the financial year. That's work in progress. Staff supervisor portfolio committee, we've dealt with that year. They have provided us with the pocketbooks, with this action plan on the pocketbooks. Staff to supply the committee with a copy of the new section 2, they've done that. Updated accountability supervision model to ensure compliance by members. We have received this from the National Commissioner's Office. The steps to review and redefine the roles and the responsibility of the trust management system to strengthen service delivery. See, I see here that you can see that, but I'm actually not sure if it is defined to the trust management
for the
cluster
managers rather than the
special commanders. So I just have to read it to see that it does apply to the cluster managers as well, because it does apply to the special commanders. The question of the reduction of civil claims, we've received that check. The agent analysis of claims, that was received. The inspector division to make available a new draft on the standing of the 6 that was provided to the committee. The national demographic plan, which will be integrated with the station profiles, chair on the fixed establishment, the review of fixed establishment. We received a request for an extension until the 15th of January by the National Commission's Office. 16th, we've dealt with that matter on 16th, chair. We've dealt with 17, we've dealt with 18. Changes 18, we've received a request for extension until the 16th of January on Socket. Uniform detectives, we've received something on the uniform detectives. The SEFs, a full report of page close, we've dealt with that issue as well, Chief. We've dealt with 21, and we've dealt with 22. We've dealt with 23, we've dealt with 24, and we have, on 26, the DPSI should provide them with a skills training plan for members who are investigating cybercrimes. The DPSI has provided such a plan, and they indicated that they are sending people to Italy to be trained in terms of the correspondence to the committee. The 27, the SAPS to provide them with a plan to criminal crime intelligence, we've received that check. Deadline for the vacancy, we've dealt with that. And then lastly, on page 5 and number 29, a status report on the premise and accommodation of the Bloemfontein Protection and Security Service personnel. we received that on the 4th of December. Chair, that is the report. Chair, I think we must say that SAP's actually gone into this way to satisfy the committee or the issues that the committee has requested from the DRRR report so far. Thanks.
Thank you very much for the report. It's an important report. I think on those issues that still need, we need to follow up, but then again, all the documents must be made available to members. And of course, we will in certain instances meet that as we go along in terms of the program. When we do the quarterly review on the 24th of February, I think a lot of the issues that, in terms of policy, we will have to also include in our engagement. So I think we will have to first distribute all documents to the members that they can have an opportunity to go through it, but then we will have to highlight those issues that will be applicable to the hearings going forward. So that's going to be quite important to get the best value from all the information. But from the committee side, we are happy SAPs are operating. That is good to hear. Any members for comments? No comments. Thank you very much. So that is the report. Thank you. Open that scene. Anything from your side? Yeah. Right. Members will now go to the minutes as the next item to deal with those minutes. I think as the lobby made it available to members, and we will start with the minutes of the 12th of August. It's a seven-page document. Now we just maybe need one more member, so we will, but we can start. We will maybe, I think, on Mr. Longwin or Ramatakan is currently out, but we can continue. And when we come to approval, we will hopefully add the necessary strength to deal with it procedurally. So, colleagues, we will go to page one of the minutes of the 12th of August. Yes, on
the what about it? No, I'm not sure. This is the apology. Mkhongo, I think it's an M.
An M?
Yeah.
Thank you for that, Honorable Bansi. I think also maybe on the students was in or on the head of office, we must just indicate the head of office to Deputy Ministry of Police. Yes, on Mulbati.
Same page, same table. Mahuma Pilu, 11. It's not Mahu, we have an H, unpresent, the people who are present.
Yeah. Right, can we move to page 2? Is everybody happy with
the service?
Honourable Mark.
Still on the first page, Honourable Mfong was present and he also apologized. I don't know, maybe he apologized and left.
I'm not sure.
He chose that he was present.
So we will ask the secretary to look at the list. At the list of the day, Dennis Lee. Thank you, Honourable Mark.
Chairperson, on page one, there on the present, Mawunda. You know Mawunda is Mawunda. The surname of Mawunda. After Mawunda.
Thank you very much for that, Honourable Mula. So I'll take a period to look at that. Right. Dealt with page 1, let's go to page 2.
Chair, right at the top there, that needs to be plural for women's legal setter.
Thank you very much. Honourable, what about you?
What paragraph? Second line, the country on the decision, they place a capital O there.
Is it on page 2?
3.
No, we saw 2.
3, I'm in a hurry.
Is there anything else on page 2? before we go to two, go off to three. Yes, Angula.
Page 3, paragraph 2. Sentence number 1, 2, 3, 4. That the ministry was not aware and was not party, to the statement.
A party is correct in that context.
Okay.
Yes, ma'am, page 3. You are the honorable.
Yeah. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, the fifth paragraph, second line, itself in the country, on, there's a third letter O, A, and the spacing also.
Thank you very much for the question, Mr. Mubansi. Honorable, somebody on, you can go ahead.
Sorry to...
No, please, anything.
I was just trying to sort out something here, and I missed page 1.
On page 1?
Yeah, but I just see my name somehow fell off here, either on the presence or even an apology. And that was on a Wednesday, so I think we need to check the record.
I think you were at that meeting. So we ask the secretary to look at that. Also, page 3, can we move to 4? Yes.
Committee minded all the staff's members that the code of conduct states, not the tax states.
Yeah, that's so. Thank you very much for that, no apology. Honorable Molomasi?
Seeing that by this we had more than one deputy national commissioner, is it not important to mention which deputy national commission are you talking about?
No, absolutely. Now that might be General Situle, but I think we must just make sure. It's at the bottom of page 4. Ms. Honorable Molobashi is indicating that it's mentioned by of the Deputy National Commissioner, there's three. Now, the question is what one is talking about. Well, I could recall Zeno Sotole, but I think we must just make sure. Anything else on 4? Then we can go to 5. For the second paragraph on page 5, the chairperson said that the committee had received input from SAPS, therefore the committee needed to make progress in terms of the way forward, so the progress could also be deleted, the progress in terms of the way forward.
Paragraph 3, the first line, that should indicate the decision to relieve with the fee, not relief.
Yeah, that is quite good. Thank you. Honorable Mamula? Are you fine?
Thank you.
Yes, Honorable Molobashi.
Coming to Women's Legal Center, we can eat.
Thank you very much. Anything else on 5, please? Can we move to 6?
As we leave 5, on 3.1, the second last bullet point, there needs to be an apostrophe under the S of clients. Yeah.
Thank you very much for that. We move to 6.
Chairperson. Line number 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, bullet number 5.
Yeah.
It says the Divisional Commissioner of HRD should explain the statement that you take to him that was published and appeared before the committee to explain in the front 18 accounts. It was not she.
Wait.
Yeah.
Is she, are you correct?
Yeah, she.
Thank you. Secretary, if you can just correct that. Anything else on 6, colleagues? Then we move to 7. There's a word missing in that first paragraph, second sentence. The committee will need a leadership that understands the distinction between civilian and its executive authority. Maybe a civilian. I don't know what was the oversight rule.
Civilian control.
No. Thank you. Honorable Mamula.
Paragraph 2, the first sentence. The chairperson wanted to quote from the document.
Yeah, maybe just to Chairperson quoted from a document. Yeah. Sentence 1, 2, 3, 4, paragraph 4, last sentence. The subsequent that the statement did what it was never intended. Okay, that's what it's correct.
Chairperson, second paragraph, second last sentence. The right of the public to access information was be provided.
Thank you. And in the last paragraph on page 7 as well, the chairperson, the must be a small the.
Chair, still on that same sentence that Honorable Market pointed to, is that so delete the B, but it should just say was provided for constitutionally with citation.
I think they also the word the final responsibility then for security should be taken out of the hands of the security apparatus, not the RIA's apparatus. That is the second paragraph on page 7. Apparatus, not the RIA. Right. You might indicate something else. Right, colleagues, anything else on page 7? It was quite interesting to read this again.
Sorry, sir, I just spotted also again in the paragraph that that last sentence should be security institutions should not act on their TEIR, their own authority.
Yeah. There we are. Thank you very much. Right, quick, if there's nothing else, can we then get the proposal for the adoption of the minutes of 12 August? Thank you, Honorable Bazi, seconded by Honorable Mamula with the members. Then we go to the minutes of the meeting that was held on the 18th of August 2015. Honorable Bazi.
Yes, on the name of Honorable Ramadan. Yes, got
Honorable Makan must be glad he's reflected at least now. Yeah, no. Somebody else. Anything else of one, colleagues? Can we go to two? What is the name of the new Western Cape Provincial Commissioner? General Jula. Right. Maybe the last sentence on page 2, our second to last sentence. The chairperson led the activities of the committee for the third term. The third term program. Anything else with two colleagues? Can we go to three? This may be a repeat on 2-1, improving sample and methodology, so one can just be scrapped.
and also three colleagues.
Now can we move to four?
Second line on page four. Chairperson indicated that all the issues should be plural.
Plural. Thank you very much. Second paragraph. And the second paragraph, that sentence, the committee indicated in that meeting that the Provincial Commission of KwaZulu-Natal and the head of HRD should have been appeared. Said that they had cleared rules.
Chair, also just for accuracy, it should reflect that it was the acting Provincial Commissioner of the Western Cape.
different hands on the last part one, paragraph. The general mentioned that the committee referred to such members who were undisciplined. I don't understand how does it come there.
In the very first sentence, the general believes that she was right in issuing such a statement.
Are we on page 2?
Yes.
Paragraph 2, line number 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. These individuals should leave such so that the national commissioner is the national commissioner for the national commission.
Chairperson, the second, I mean, still on the first paragraph, I'm not sure whether it's supposed to be protocols, the second sentence, or protocol. The general said that she followed the protocols in terms of issuing such.
From the middle of the second paragraph to the next paragraph, into the next paragraph, most of the sentences start with the general. Maybe in between the months, she also said, she, you know, just
right.
the general.
Okay, on the first paragraph, we just need to make a T in the chairperson small letters, and then just sort out the spacing between the first and second sentences.
Still on the first paragraph, chairperson, the last sentence doesn't connect well with the first sentence. It was unfortunate that the statement was issued by the general. It doesn't link who said that. If it's the chairperson who said that, it must link already.
the surname of Mabunda. She's Mabuana, yes. How it has changed, I don't know, Mabuana.
The last paragraph, the committee wanted an indication on the duration of how long. Duration and how long is the same. You either use duration or how long.
Wanted an indication on the duration of how long the position of Visible Head and the Divisional Commission and the Program 5 and the PCS has been vacated, and also the steps taken to fill these positions. I think we are talking about one position here. It can't be this.
The committee sought to clarify in the statement, sought to clarify your plan.
On page 4 in Genesis, I wonder if it makes sense, that is bullet 2, the committee wanted to know whether General Williams was part of the two candidates who were shortlisted for the above mentioned position. It was noted that the general was auto promoted from his previous position to become a major general. Now, I think there must be a correction there, because a general is a fully fledged general. If now it's a major, promoted to a major general, is now going backwards ahead. So it doesn't make any sense.
Chair, in the second bullet points, the last word should be plural, so services, protection of services.
Chair, it should be protection of security services.
Don't we need a comma instead of a full stop? Meaning that we don't start a sentence with therefore.
1, 2, 3, 4. Yeah. 4, 4. Bullet 4 on 4. The two track in AC.
So, the very last Major General M. Musala, I don't know whether that would be the right spelling for Musala.
Chair, on 2.2, the second bullet point, that the capital S needs to be removed. So, stage is 6.
close of your department today.
I'm not very sure. Is it not the chairperson talking on the first part? So if that is the case, then it's correct.
Resolution is the last one. To encourage women, even if not one in one.
Chairperson, still on that last point, encourage women with the small letter, the W on it. And then, in closing remarks, in the closing comma, a small G for them. Under terms of reverence, the chairperson reminded members of the terms of reference that was adopted. I'm not sure whether it mustn't be that were adopted. Adopted the document or the terms of reference themselves.
It comes from the top. Because it's like first. That's the particular. The chapter you mentioned that this is critical. That's the most way I achieve. I think it's the same thing that
And number two, the center says establish and consider whether the document and electronic material made available to the community verify or to verify the statement made during the first committee meeting. The material made available to the committee to verify or to say verify.
And number three for inquiry. The pending order N156 school. Faith.
Okay, sorry, also just on page D, point 10, in the last paragraph, the P in provincial commissioners to be a capital. Chair, I think in 2.2, that should just be plural for meeting, because it's transcripts of meetings.
The members were not honest on the person who was chairing, the meeting on the day they had to be forced by the committee of the captaincy to disclose that information.
Committee needed to look at this issue.
Constitution 3.3, minutes of Board of Commissions. Shouldn't it be the minutes of the Board or the minutes of the Board or something?
Well,
the advisor person, the Prozovica is a citizen in Lingua, or whatever, and all that. But you see, I don't like to buy that because really, according to what is happening now in the West, you see, for example, you take the situation of Brothers Cat. Haiti is actually the suffering from cats, but Haiti is part of the United Nations Security Council. They are not a distinguished case of these world wars. What are we doing with this? So, really, I think somewhere we must be able to draw a thin line to say how this, because people are not careful. My question tries to protect ourselves to say, let us not go and buy the American strategy on war on terror, because then people can fall into that. We are going to derail the entire security, compromise the entire security for the African continent. Yes. Thank you.